What's up, y'all? Happy Super Bowl Sunday. My name is Jeffrey Scott Mitchell, and I'm coming to you live from the ultimate remote location. Alternate route. I'm here at the Southern Park Mall simply because, yeah, it's cold outside. But it seems my body has changed over this last week or so to adjust to the cold, but more so, I've learned how to prepare and dress for it. So it's not so much the cold anymore. The reason I'm here today in the mall is because of the ice. You can't walk. I couldn't walk. I barely could make it to the doggone car. Walking out of the driveway, I'm almost falling. Even if you walk on the grass, even the grass is slippery. Everything is like coated in ice. It's slippery to the point that where you literally might fall. And I'm walking flat footed, stepping side by side like an 8-month-older. I said, no, I can't do this. Then I realized, oh, I can go to the mall. The funny part about it is, oh, I'll go to the mall. I'll take Kimberly's car, go to the mall. She sleeps, she don't need it. I forgot I had a car. I forgot I got a car that I'm gonna have for a week. Gonna cost me $270. But I got my $270 out of that vehicle. Taking myself back and forth to the airport to Chicago, driving to Detroit and back, driving to Cleveland last night, which leads me to the point. First of all, I gotta say that no matter what happens going forward, if that was the last show, if there won't be, you know, very few shows, if the touring is done, blah, 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 blah. And I must say, I may be into my feelings and I may have let it, you know, come down all over me, but that kind of felt like the last one. I mean, it felt like it could have been the last one. It's like, you know, watching Mr. Clinton. And little things that, you know, I wanted to put in my head. Maybe I'm making it feel like the last one. Because you never know if it's the last one or not. I mean, you don't know. Things change. But you kind of know what I mean. There was just little subtleties in there. Like, one of the things that kind of got me, this may be grasping, was at the end, you know, after Tommy Dawg, he walks off stage. And I see him sitting there on the side, right? You know, he's sitting there, just bare feet, just kind of, you know, just sitting there, just, you know, letting the band finish up Atomic Dog. And he calls Clip over. He tells Clip, I tell him something. And Clip came out and told everybody, Super Stupid. So he started playing Super Stupid. Mr. Clip came back out. And then they went into Alice in My Fantasies, I believe it was. And at the end of the Alice in My Fantasies, Mr. Clinton started singing the Mothership chant. Swing down, sweet chariots. He started singing that over the Funkadelic, which was an interesting mix. It worked for me. It definitely worked for me. I never would have put those two together. And then he
making a movie.
Doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And then he
get the Eagles jersey.
Oh yeah. Three straight, baby. Three straight. It's gonna be. And they I was gonna say. And then he starts singing, when the mothership comes, I want to ride. I start singing that over Alice in My Fantasies. I'm like, my God. You know, how did you figure that in there. And I guess in my mind, if this is the last one, the last show, for him to finish it up singing Mothership stuff, that's just me personally. That's where I'm at. You know, I love the Mothership Connection. I believe the Mothership Connection started it all, blah, 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 blah. So for him to go out like that, you know, I even made sure I filmed him walking across stage, picked his shoes up, walk across stage, and, you know, not too much, you know, fanfare, because people aren't going to do that. People aren't going to do that at all. You know, they don't signify any events. I remember a couple of times, most times, New Year's Eve, they wouldn't even say nothing. I'd be like, it's all, we got a countdown or something. He just played through it, you know. They don't acknowledge birthdays that much, you know, all those. And from a P-Funk philosophy, probably mixed with my philosophy, I can dig that. You know, I can dig that. Even though sometimes I'll be like, hey, man, it's August the 14th. You ain't gonna play Friday night, August 14th, you know, something like that. But for the most part, I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I watched him walk across stage, and I was feeling some kind of way. Not sure what way. I was feeling some kind of way. But in feeling that some kind of way, I thought I was gonna be distracted walking around here with all these people doing this. But I'm starting to get deeper and deeper and deeper into my feelings and what's going on with this P-Funk thing. Anyhow, walking through the food court now. Folks looking at me. I ain't worried about these people. Not that I ain't worried about it. That ain't the way to put it. But, you know, I've done this enough to where, you know, me, if I'm a spectacle, if I'm this, if I'm that, you know, they can see what I'm doing. They see I'm wearing a microphone, for crying out loud. Anyhow, but this is Youngstown. You know, and I ain't gonna say conformity, but this ain't LA where you can see anything at any time. You know, here, the reaction to the unordinary is a little bit sharper here. You know, I'm not saying against it, for it, you know, whatever. It's just sharper. They can be, oh, more excited. They can be more put off or whatever. You know, LA, we just seen everything. Anyhow. So he walked off stage and I filmed him, and, you know, watching him walk over there, pick up his shoes and walk off the stage, and just kind of walked around the corner and, you know, went away. And I was feeling some kind of way. I was feeling some kind of way. And also to think, the last three shows, I want to say have been great. But I don't talk that way. I don't. That's not the way Jeffrey Scott Mitchell talks. It don't even sound right if you ask me. But they've been very, very good. In fact, they played Aqua Boogie again last night. Much tighter. Much, much tighter. It's almost like they wouldn't rehearsed or practiced or something. Much, much, much tighter. And it hit. And the way you could hear the parts change, and the way it hit, oh, it was so beautiful. And just everything was just good. I mean, last night's show, the sound, the stage, the sound was definitely better. The sound was better to the point that where I didn't even realize how maybe, quote unquote, bad the sound was at the last two shows. Because the sound was just, whew, it was something. Maybe because it was a bigger stage or a bigger venue or however the venue was. It was just clarity. You could hear everything. Especially Mr. Curry's bass. You can hear vocals. Well, some of the vocals wasn't there. Some of the mics weren't turned on when they were supposed to be. But for the most part, it was clear. You could hear it. Then when they played Aqua Boogie, you hear all that. And We Want the Funk and Knee Deep. They opened with Nappy Dugout. Then they went into Cosmic Slop. Cosmic Slop was a little, maybe could have been mixed a little better. But you know, by the time they got to the deeps and everything, everything was like dialed in. Mr. Hampton sounded good. Everything sounded good. Horn sounded good. Everything sounded good. Everything sounded just really, really good. These last three shows and last show, last night, it really was good. And if they walk off into the sunset after these three, you can't be mad. If they walk off into the sunset after these three, you can't be mad. I hope somebody documented it. I hope somebody got good video, got audio, good video of it, because they was putting it down. They was putting it down. And let me say also, what I wanted to do, and I wanted to do that first, when I first started this up, is the last show, I named everybody across the stage, and I forgot somebody. I forgot Uche. As Mr. Payne tells us, U-C-H-E. This is the Bay Tales Uche, U-C-H-E. And in saying that, I can confess and admit that I was hating on him. You know, I hate him. Number one, we hate on anybody new who come in. Quote unquote, we, and we know who we are. And if you don't, that's okay. You know, don't, it's not you, it's not anything you know about. The we I'm talking about, we know who we are. So I'm just talking to them people. And we don't like people new coming in, especially with Uche's style, you know, with the hair flailing and all the dancing and all that, you know. To me, at the least, that's not a P-Funk style, subjectively speaking, at the least. It could be a wider appeal, a wider agreement on that. It could even be documentation that says, hey, yeah, P-Funk is not known for that kind of performance or that kind of action or whatever the move or whatever. So I was definitely was hating on him. And I was hard on him. I was tough. I was like, No. People ask me too. Like, what do you think about the new guy? I'd be like, people's like, one person was like, well, you know, he came out singing Flashlight, and you know, this is gonna set him up to be Sir Nose. I was like, hell no. Somebody was like, yeah, this is gonna be Sir Nose. And I'm setting him up to be, you know, the Sir Nose part. I was like, hell no. No, that's something different. That's something different. And the reason I want to give it up and give a shout out to him is because over the course of me and his relationship, from stage, you know, from crowd to stage and watching him perform and participate in the presentation of my goddamn music, I don't want to say got better. I don't want to say got better, improved, you know. Let's just say he grew on me to the point that where I was like, whoa, okay. And long time ago, maybe a year or so ago, like when he first started or something, there was a comment that, well, maybe if he learned the words, and I didn't even notice if he knew the words or not. So I said, maybe if he learned the words. But I figured maybe it just taking time for him to get to know the music and to settle in and do this and do that. Because Flashlight, he kind of killed it. I got to say kind of killed it. He kind of killed it because that style, I'm sure if it fits into that classic Flashlight Parliament that in my mind, you know. But his singing, the undertones, the almost church-like ad-libs or whatever you want to call it. All that, oh, yeah, all that. It was hitting. And he kept the energy going. He kept the music going. Of course, he flailing and showing all his midsection, the girls, blah, 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 and he posing and doing all that. You know, that part. But he was killing it. He took it to a point where I had to go, whoa, okay. I was like, okay, I'm looking around. I'm like, is anybody seeing me appreciating this? Oh no, I hope Carlon don't get this on video that I'm actually enjoying Uche. But and then I guess We Want the Funk. Yeah, We Want the Funk. He did the same thing on We Want the Funk. He just that's you know, that singing, whatever it is that keeps the rhythm going, and we want to go, oh, can I get it? And all that, it was in there. The tone was felt to me, it was in there. It sounded parliamentish. And that's a good way to put it. He was sounding parliamentish. He was sounding P-Funkish. And then this fucker sings, I'd rather be with you. And Lige was killing the bass. And the bass was just, this bass sound was just beautiful in the place. Both nights when he did it. I think he did it two nights. I think Detroit he did it, whatever. And I was like, whoa, okay. I was like, okay. And he started, doing all that stuff. Vocalizing, whatever, I don't know what the hell his name is. But he was doing that. And Elijah's bass was killing. I'd rather be with you. Oh my, it was good. It was good. I was like, and I made sure I did it. So if he looked at me, he saw me do it too. Cause I ain't ashamed of my feelings. I ain't ashamed. People know, people already can tell from the stage if I like it or not. Like I say, if Mr. Clinton got to ask me after the show what I thought about it, I didn't do my goddamn job. He should know when he walk up that stage exactly how Jeffrey Scott Mitchell, Pure Funk 1, P-Funk 1, felt about that doggone show when he's going through the whole show. Because I let him know, you should jump. Yeah, you should jump. So, and I kind of was like, look at him, like, whoa. And even at the end, I stood up and clapped. Deliberately stood up and clapped so that he could see it and everybody could see that I was like, you know, whoa, okay. You know, you just got to be a little patient, I guess. You got to be a little bit patient, give people some time, you know, to settle in. But that's not the P-Funk way, if you ask me. That's just not the human way. That's not the P-Funk way. That's just not the way we do things. We like to be critical, judgmental, and segregate. It's us and them. And you don't get in until you do this. And I have no problem with that. I have no problem with, you know, people having to earn their way in or whatever. You know, just pass a bar. I ain't for all that Santa Cruz, California, we're all one, we're all together. No, there's us and there's them. Especially when it comes to people. There's people who play it right and there's people who don't. There's people who have the vibe and there are people who don't. And if you don't got the vibe, you don't need to be associated with the Parliament Funkadelic that I so love and endear. And it took me maybe years to be able to get to say that so confidently, because just of the way being human we are, especially with pre-social media, where people weren't used to hearing other people's opinions, and you're supposed to just say this and say that and not, you know, have this thinking, not have that thinking, don't say anything critical, blah 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 blah. But now I'm at the point where why do I gotta you know, act like I like Earth, Wind & Fire? Why do I gotta act like I want to see other bands? Why do I gotta act like, you know, ooh, I want to go see so-and-so, or yeah, so-and-so is bad? No. All I want to do is see P-Funk. L.A. Magazine, anybody, somebody was telling me, Mark Malley was telling me, yeah, Detroit, we do a lot of funk stuff. I was like, funk like what? Is it P-Funk? Because I'm at the point now, maybe I'm old, get off my goddamn grass, you kids, I don't care. If it ain't P-Funk, I can stay at home, eat french fries, and watch Netflix. Actually, not Netflix, I canceled my Netflix. For some reason. And every now and then I get the $6.99 one just to watch whatever I need to watch. But I got Peacock. In fact, I paid for Peacock. No ass. I paid an extra $6 because I was watching. Let me tell you what's good on Hulu. While we, you know, this is kind of paradise. Paradise on Hulu is very, 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 very good. It was something I was watching The Day of the Jackal on Peacock. And I got tired of the ass, so I paid extra. Anyway, so, you know, I gotta give it up to Uche. Everything was just so wonderful. P-Funk has given me everything. Well, that kind of came out weird. P-Funk has given me so much. P-Funk has just given me so much. I keep thinking back because I can remember when I first heard that sound of Mothership Connection, and it intrigued me. I mean, from that point in Youngstown, Ohio, to where I am now, having seen them all over the world over 200 times, and just my affiliation, whatever it may be, with this whole P-Funk thing, who I am, what I am to it, or is one thing, but what it is and who it is to me is another. And also, it's the P-Funk thing. It's the P-Funk philosophy in the music. I do not go to church and worship the pastor or the choir. I repeat that. It's about, you worship the ideology, the philosophy, the direction, and the music. In this case, the music that the choir makes and that the pastor makes is crucially important. The pastor and the staff and the choir has to maintain the structure of this philosophy and this music. And the people who do that play a very, very, very important role in that. Very, 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 very important role in that. But I do not worship them. I do not worship them. It's about the music. So it's always like, oh, so-and-so having a show? Yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm doing this show. Okay. They could be a P-phone person. What you going to play? What kind of music you going to play? I mean, just because Greg Thomas is at a show don't mean it's going to be P-Funk there. Now I might show up, you know, because he there, you know, let's take a look, see, you know, whoever. You know, but I'm in my mind, I'm already like, yeah, this is going to be some bullshit. I'm already like, this is going to be some bullshit because there ain't going to be no P-Funk. And it took years, you know, through evolution of social media and the way we present ourselves and this and that and understanding of other people's opinions. We need to be able to say and admit to myself, all I want to see is people. They ain't playing people. I stay home and watch Peacock. I stay at home and watch Paradise on Hulu. Give me a DeJohnette's pizza. I'm cool. But I'm joking, but I'm not. And just, again, I can't overemphasize how important and how much that P-Funk music and P-Funk philosophy is to me, is meant to me. And after the show yesterday, at the end, I made sure I put my jersey on. I made sure I put my P-Funk 1 jersey on to have it on when the show ended. It's usually, you know, I just wear it hanging at my belt. And for whatever reason, I got out of the habit of putting it on. Because, I mean, I'll be real. There was a time where the show, I wasn't so impressed by the shows to where I thought they were worthy of me putting on my jersey. And from that time, I guess the practice of just not wearing it, and, you know, I'm wearing another shirt under it, or my Jeffrey TV or my LA Magus, you know, sending another message, you know, kind of, you know, took over, and you're just wearing the P-Funk, you know, jersey hanging down my, off my waist with black and yellow with the Steeler color P-Funk showing. You know, that kind of hit. It did okay. But last night I made sure, especially after that Aqua Boogie, and then after the Atomic Dog and We Want the Funk or something, one of those, like I said, with Uche doing what he was doing, and the band, and you're hearing 13 and the clip, and everybody just coming in with their ad-libs and their little injections, Mr. Thomas. And the other night, yeah, I think it was funny. I think it was Flashlight. When Mr. Thomas was supposed to go, Flashlight, red light. You know, Mr. Thomas was supposed to come in and do that. Uche sang it. Uche sang Mr. Thomas's part. And I looked at him with Mr. Thomas, he was smiling. He was like looking back at Uche. He was like, Uche, like, red light. Then Mr. Clinton come in, red light. Oh, I love it so much. I just do love it so much. Oh my God, that Aqua Boogie yesterday, oh, much better, whatever that means. Much better, however, whatever that means. You know, I don't know how to categorize it. It was just, it was just tighter. It was in there. And at the end of the show, like I said, it might have been me being dramatic, me being, you know, all this kind of way or that kind of way. But it did feel like a turning point or a significant moment or a crucial moment or a possible moment. And as a side note, which has nothing really to do with it, but I found, you know, kind of humanly interesting or ironic, whatever, one of the doorkeepers at the show was like, yeah, you better, you know, catch him, because this is the last one. I was like, what? How do you know? He was like, one of, you know, one of the ushers or something there. I was like, what? How do you know that? He said, well, he says, it says farewell. I said, oh, okay. I was, because he caught me. I was like, don't be saying stuff that I ain't supposed to know. I was like, don't be saying stuff that I ain't supposed to know. And so he, you know, he's like, he said that the flyer says farewell tour. I said, oh, he's been saying farewell tour for the last 5 years. So, okay. He said, don't be. But I don't know if I said this before, but I'll say it again. More and more people in the band or people associated are saying, this could be it. This could be it. They're not saying, you know, that it's over. They're not saying that, you know, this is the last one. They're not saying it's done. But they're starting to see the writing on the wall, and they're starting to get a gut feeling or whatever that, you know, maybe I better start working on my resume, start building something to bring an income outside of this. Because remember, people in the band got to eat. This is their livelihood. And I guess my question too was, I was going to ask somebody, does he want to quit? Does Mr. Clinton want to quit? You know, usually when you ask that kind of question, you'll get an answer. And then you might even get an explanation and say, yeah, Mr. Clinton been wanting to quit. So he can blah, 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 blah. He want to do that, or, you know, blah, 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 blah. There's one thing about them people, guys. They will answer your question straight and direct. And if it's none of your business, they'll tell you that. If you don't need to know, they'll tell you that. But you're going to get an answer. You're going to get a straight answer, or you're going to get no answer. And I love that about that band. Anyone you talk to, hey, ain't bullshit. You're going to get the answer or not. Except probably except for Mr. Clinton. Mr. Clinton will talk Mike Tomlin circles around your ass and say the right thing, you know, as not to offend anybody. But I think if you listen really close, if you know him, you know if he's saying something or not. And sometimes a lot of it is in what he doesn't say. A lot of it is in what he doesn't say. Like it's, oh, he didn't say that. And you go, oh, okay. Okay. I see what you did there. But anyway, again, it's just so much and so beautiful and just so rewarding. I tell them, the band, all the time, you know, I just feel guilty. I show up, pay my money. I get so much from it. I feel like I need to give more to it. I get so much from it. I feel like I need to give more to it. I was thinking yesterday, I got to turn the car back in. And I got to turn the car back in tomorrow. And I wonder if I'm going to be able to walk. I wonder if it's going to be all frozen tomorrow, too. It's going to be all ice and stuff. Am I going to be able to? Here's my, see, when I came in, see, that's my apparel right there. That's where I put it. I had my Sonnet jacket and a hoodie. That's where I put it, because it's too hot in here. You gotta know how to dress. You gotta dress for inside, and you gotta dress for outside, because it's cold out there. And you just gotta be prepared for it. You gotta be ready for it, you know? Southern Park Mall, I got distracted people looking at the camera, looking at me. And not only, you know, distracted one way, but I do get distracted because when it's shooting them, I'm aware of when I'm shooting other people, I'm not shooting myself. I'm aware when they're in the frame and it kind of affect, I just become aware of it. And I do react to it in a certain way because you know, I'm sensitive to that. Let's just put the, you can put it that way. I'm sensitive to that. But I think that's all I want to say. Well, not all, but for now, to get off my chest. That band, oh my God. I mean, I can't, I'm full. I got mine. And I said that a few years ago. When I went to see him in Europe and saw him here and saw him there and did this and then that. I got mine. I said years ago, but if this band was to quit today, if this band was to quit performing and doing whatever today, I got mine. And that was years ago. And I've still been getting it ever since. So I got my piece. I got my fulfillment, if you want to call it that. I got my whatever. I got my peace. I got my satisfaction. I got my, I don't know what to call it. Because I'm walking in the mall and it's like people kind of looking at me and stuff and I'm feeling that. And I like it. And it's distracting me. See where we're at. Now I'm just performing for him. Oh, see that thing? I gotta, and I lost the remote on this. So I might have, and it slipped, it's not as tight as it used to be, the swivel. So it might be time for another one. I wear these things out, I guess. And the remote on this is cool because I can fold, it's a selfie stick tripod, I can stand it up, and I can also close the handle. And use a selfie stick, and the remote is like right on there, so I can just click, 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 like almost like firing a gun, taking pictures. But anyway, I mean, I got mine. I can't say nothing to Mr. Clinton, or the band, or the philosophy, or to the management, or anything. I got mine. They delivered. This music can't be beat. They delivered. And they didn't make me a promise. I kind of promised them when I first heard that Mothership Connection. And as our relationship grew, as the philosophy maintained something, continued to be something that I could stand behind, that Jeffrey Scott Mitchell didn't mind wearing an ideology or a way it was looked at to where Jeffrey Scott Mitchell would be proud to associate himself with. Man, there's only two things. The Steelers and P-Funk. And maybe the LA Maggots now. But I don't be wearing everybody's stuff. You don't see me wearing brand names. I just don't do it. And a lot of this stuff you see me posting this is original. I don't be posting people's memes or pictures from somewhere else. It's no accident. It's significant that I wear P-Funk on my back or that I got P-Funk 1 on my license plate. This ain't no whimsical bullshit. This is Jeffrey Scott Mitchell and the integrity of said individual, which I highly revere and respect. And you know what? Because I highly revere it and respect it, other people do too. When I walk in a room, they know Jeffrey Scott Mitchell walked in there because of the way Jeffrey Scott Mitchell handles his business unto himself. The respect that I have for myself and my integrity, it spills out. Now I'm going too far as people was watching me and I want to show out a little bit. I am a performer. Remind me of granddaughter. Kids still wanted to ride the ride, I guess. They wasn't done riding the ride. And they was doing a little. And their parents just walking by. Parents is oblivious too. Even though they know. You know. But anyhow. It's I don't want to say people are gonna serve me well. That sounds not enough or whatever, but Pete Funk is, I mean, it's get, it's deliver. It's, I can't ask for nothing more. I cannot ask for nothing more. Nothing. Nothing. Of all the things that I cherish and passion in my life, Pete Funk being one of them, the reward is just this. It's given back to me. I don't know the words, but you know what I'm trying to say. Here's a DiBartolo. This is the DiBartolo stuff. He changed his name to DiBartolo, to DiBartolo. And here's the San Francisco, because he's the owner of the San Francisco 49ers. And this is, used to be DiBartolo Commons. And they had like a thing here, a display here, an installation. See, he's a champion. I think he owned the Penguins too. San Francisco, DiBartolo, he did the mall. That's the Borman Mall and the buildings. He changed his name. Don't he look Italian? Don't he look like he's straight off of Godfather? I'm just saying. But anyway, I guess, like I said, at this point of my relationship, of our relationship, me and P-Funk, if I gotta say thank you, or if I gotta tell you anything, I ain't do my job. I think over the years, I made it very apparent. I made it very apparent how I feel. Yeah. You know, I ain't gotta, you know, get y'all a gift, or, you know, make them salute, or do any of that. I put the work in while it was happening. And I think y'all know. Yeah, I didn't even get into the after party after the Detroit show. Groove Allegiance. See, I didn't even get into all that. Groove Allegiance. After the Detroit show. And like Detroit. Sometimes I said Detroit, dude in a Lions shirt walk by. After the Detroit show. At the Maple Bar. Groove Allegiance was Garrett Scheider, Michael Hampton. Why always say Michael Hampton for a second? I say Scheider Hampton. I think I did that in the listing too. I don't know. I think because I guess seeing Mr. Hampton at the Funketeers balls and stuff and hanging out and just talking to him and how we reestablished our relationship. Because at one time it was kind of contentious. Because of his antics on the stage, I didn't quite understand his antics. But as I said before, when he left, I missed those said antics. And I was like, let alone his playing, you know, let alone that sound and the playing. Oh my God. One thing I will say, at one of the shows, I think it was Detroit, his pedals weren't working. So I think here's what I'm calling it. He took his guitar and plugged it directly to the amp. I don't know what that means. It just looked like that's what happened. I don't know what it, you know, his head and amp. Don't even. So, and he played, I think, knee deep that way. And I liked it. It didn't have any effect on it or whatever. I don't know. I liked it. It was clean, that stilly sound. I liked it. But anyway. Mr. Hampton, Mr. Curry, Mr. Thomas, Mr. Bedrosian, Mr. Cowan, Menzel Cowan. I mean, that's a hell of a band. That's one hell of a band. That's a band that's just about ready to, we just add a couple more pieces to it, like some female vocalists. And I think Mr. Scheider already got that part. Because remember, he at the other show, the Funketeers Ball, he had female accompaniment that killed the bride stuff. And he was telling me that the one girl knows it. She knows the parts. She be telling the other ones when they sing it wrong and sing it right. She kind of came up on it. And the other two, he said, learned it as good as we heard it in one day. So, you know, and these women, these was girls and women who was singing. I mean, singing. So you could put some of that in there, put some of this in there. You got the baddest band. You got the baddest P-Funk band in the land behind you right there. You know? You got the baddest band in the land. Those that probably play that music better than anybody. You know, it could be argued, definitely. It definitely could be argued. I'm sure there's some people out there who say, no. You know, because I guess I'm just, only thing I'm aware of is the people in the band who play it now, who've been playing it for all these years continuously. I'm sure there's other, you know, people out there, legacy band, who think, you know, they can get down. And probably deserve, you know, to be like in that shot or, you know, mention of being, you know, one of the best players of the music still, even though we may not hear them, you know, as often as I hear P-Funk and, you know, Ben Denzel. Okay, I was thinking about Jerome Braley. I was thinking about Jerome Braley. You know, he's still out there. And I ain't gonna say talking shit, but, you know, he's still out there active on social media. So it seems like he's still in the mix, you know. Maybe I need to go hear him play. You know, maybe I need to go hear how he putting it down. And I would do that. I definitely would do that. I would fly to, you know, see if that can happen. I just feel something in my throat. I better not be getting sick. I swear. I guess if you're going to catch a virus, you're going to catch it here at the mall. I better not be getting sick. I can't afford to get sick. I ran all my PTO out chasing that goddamn band all over the Midwest. I would have to work and be an assisting customer the whole 8 hours. I'm like, oh, can you take me off the phones? Can I just do email? I'm dying. I'm sick, but I don't have any more PTO left. I don't have any more sick time. Can I just be on the email queue and not do phones? That'll help a lot. Anyway, I feel good. I feel good. I mean, who else out there? Let's talk about it. Who else out there? Don Silva and them? Don Silva? You know, they doing stuff. Who else? Patty Walker, P Connection, the P-Funk Outlaws. Who else out there? We need to round all these people up. L.A. Magus, well, you know, since I'm part of L.A. Magus, I probably don't see them as being as grandiose. Oh, Clones of Funk? But I put Tony Cam in there. I mean, the School of Funk, he's definitely going in the right direction. You know. I don't want to use the word commercial. And he's definitely benign. Benign is benign to where, you know, where, you know, it's not necessarily pure, but it's still good, you know. And it's basically from what he's doing anyway. Just from the standpoint of, you know, being all the projects and how he keeps the music going, the sound alive, the music, just all his projects and stuff. That's a, you know, that's something in itself. But could I put him in the P-Funk category? Some people probably gonna say, well, how you gonna put the Clones of Funk in that? I mean, how you gonna put the LA Maggots in that? Well, because they play it genuinely. And you know what it sounds like when play genuinely. Anyhow, I'm probably talking too much. All right. I'm gonna see how many steps I got so far. And then I'm gonna see if I'm gonna get out of here. Probably go do this or that. Anyhow, I feel good. I love the band. I love the music. And if that's it, that's it. You know, I got mine. I got mine. Anyhow, swinging on y'all two times. For me, for the funk. The funk of Parliament Funkadelic. The P-Funk. Uncut Funk. The Bomb. Coming to you directly to the... And every elementary particle that has ever existed in any atom in this or in any universe that ever was, is, or will be. The totality of it all. Theory of universe. Hypothesis of all of it as one. My name is Jeffrey.